It does not puff up. I mean, love truly adds to you. The things you do in love will add to someone. They will improve their lot. They will increase their, you know, quote-unquote, chances for salvation, meaning you're doing things to help them, to make every possible allowance for them to be saved. You know, that's why rebuke, it gives the potential to build people up, not the potential to puff people up. Like when you just don't do, you know, anything about someone's sin, and you just sort of let it go and have them over to Christmas anyways, you know. When you just, all you're doing is puffing them up, continuing to inflate them in their nothingness. Does not behave itself unseemly. Behave itself unseemly. What's that mean? Well, let's see. Behave itself unseemly is a single word. Or be or act in an unbecoming way. Shapeless or inelegant. Ashemoneo. The word moneo in there is it's the word that we're used, like abide in me and abide. Unsimilar, therefore, be sort of in an unbecoming or unabideful. I mean, in a inappropriate way. Inappropriate to what? You know, that's the question. It's like, what, inappropriate? There's some things that the world deems inappropriate that love in the truth deems appropriate. See, a lot of these things are very relative to what your opinion of that is. To some people, you know, like, what's your culture? You know, it's like to certain cultures, like, there is inappropriate ways of, you know, like, some people don't, you know, some cultures, you don't make eye contact. Right? Others do. And I'm using just an example like that just to say it's like, what is becoming can be relative to who's thinking. So it is, first and foremost, who do we seek to please, men or God? Well, God. But as Paul said, in those things that which, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, in those things which pertain to man that do not affect the gospel, all other things being equal, I become all things to all men. So if their culture says don't look them in the eye, then you don't look them in the eye. But there's a line that has to be drawn at some point where, you know, some people say, well, to some people say, it's unseemly, it's unbecoming, it's rude to talk about religion. Religion is a private matter that shouldn't be spoken of publicly. You know, I'm sure people, when I start doing stuff on YouTube, are going to wish I would get off. And even on the internet, I've been told by people, like, you know, you're doing a public forum, you're no different than the guy in the middle of the street with the blowhorn. And what about those guys on TV? They're not invading the homes. I turn on the radio on the Sunday, they take up all the music stations. They're all over the place. What, and I got to make way for them? Well, and some people would say that they should be gone too. There's some ways in which we are going to be unpleasant to people. We're going to seem inappropriate. And we're going to have to leave, but in a sense, what? It is to the edification. And that's the measure I'm going to think I'm going to use in this. It's an easy one. What builds up in Christ is love. And that also taken with a measure of wisdom. And I tell you, without wisdom and a sort of depth of understanding, you can't understand love. You can perform love. See, the nice thing about it, though, is now as I make, you know, obviously one of my handicaps is being intelligent, I overcomplicate things. because I see different angles, I look at things, right? And I make it complicated. To me, that's like a handicap. Because a person with lesser I don't want to use a big word, who's going to not look into stuff so deeply, they're just going to see it in simplicity and probably just perform it. Okay, they just do love. Some people, the thing is, you can be not understand much about love, but just do it because it's a gift of God. I can understand all the mysteries of love, but if I don't actually have love, what good's that going to do to me? Because love, you know, again, I'm using all this wisdom to understand love, but I can understand a lot about it, but not actually do it. I suppose this is sort of a critical point in the teaching. Again, if people got upset and already stopped listening, they'll miss it. So what? But if I can't perform the love, knowing all about it doesn't help me at all. Because, again, like I said, love is not an intellectual process. I go, well, I'm going to analyze the situation and according to knowledge and bring in all the knowledge and stuff. But you know what? I have to have love in me. Ultimately, that has to come from God. And he has to judge what kind of love it is. Is it appropriate? Is it acceptable to him? These are measuring sticks, right? Love does not envy, but love will envy. I'm telling you, it will. But it does not envy in a way that does not edify. It does not envy outside of, you know, again, it's jealous over the truth. Right. And the only reason I'm saying that, because some people are so legalistic about the way they approach it, the scriptures, and I can be that way too, I suppose. But what I mean is, you can't obtain love by making a checklist and saying, okay, I'm going to do all these things. You have to have it, man. You can't just say, I'm going to do it, and then make a checklist and say, okay, you know why? You're going to fail. And that's what people always end up with, excellence and halfway righteousness, and they don't fulfill the things which God has ordained love ought to be because they have tried to seek it by works and not by faith. I seek love not by works that I could, like, when I go about trying to love people, I'm not going about trying to love them. I'm just hoping that in the Lord, the Spirit of God is on me to love them. And whenever I look at things like this and I see in my life the ways in which I don't fulfill it, it causes great sadness on me because I realize the love of God is not perfected in me. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again until God gives it to me. I wait for it.